Okay, so everybody take a deep breath. I would like to open this for a discussion from the community about the last session. It was kind of an extensive session too, as all of these are, because they're pushing us to the max. So if anybody has any questions about that or any comments would be welcome. Colleen, you had something?
Yes, Joan. You said that it's for the children coming in the next generation. Would that be our grandchildren or our great-great-grandchildren?
All of it, because this is going to affect beings coming into a physical form in a human form backwards and forwards, just like that lineage thing function, you know, when we change a part of our lineage, it affects those souls in our past and in our future. And because we still don't get, there is no past and there is no future. Yeah. It's all simultaneous. But yes, it affects everything.
Wow. Thank you, Joan.
You're welcome. Anybody else have any comments or questions?
I don't even remember our last call. I did it. But the one that I really resonated with was the golden liquid light one. So I keep redoing that one. So my two cents.
Well, I mean, that's a good one to redo. I think these things are something you're going to have to listen to. You're going to have to read the transcripts and you're going to have to practice. It's not about, okay, we did that. We're going to move on to the next thing. It's all interwoven. Everything that we've ever learned is being brought in and interwoven in these upgrades. So it's going to take longer periods, I think, until we get accustomed to it. And our consciousness and our energetics are more stabilized before we have a be able to have a quick turnaround, because this is just too massive right now. And they have told us early on before these sessions started that this first year was all about upgrading everything that we've ever known. And boy, they were not kidding. Mm-hmm. So thanks for the comment, Kelly.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to, go ahead, Rosemary.
Okay, sorry. I just had a question that Joan or whoever, if somebody could speak to. I was like working on the lineage in my meditations, both with the genetic lineage, my biological genetic lineage, and then the soul lineage, mm-hmm. because I realized those other incarnations are not necessarily this biological genetics. So is it the same effect on our biological lineage and our soul lineage? For example, if I had a life in Africa or Japan.
That's two different things. Your soul lineage or your spirit lineage is a more refined iteration, because you are a soul spirit. You know, you are made in the perfection of Prime Creator. That physical lineage is a genetic physical lineage, and you use different, sometimes you reincarnate in the same lineage time after time or for a certain amount of time for experiences, sometimes different ones. So the lineage is the genetic lineage is about your body.
So that's the one that we are affecting through this specific.
Right, because we're healing the mental emotional body. And so many of the patternings that we inherited, responses, emotional fractures, or thought patterns, were taught to think a certain way in your family or to do things a certain way. Well, this is the way we've always done it. Well, anymore, that's not the case, because it doesn't make it what you should do right now. So yeah, that's two different things.
Right, right. I'm happy to say that I really do feel my mental, emotional body in a much more complete and robust form than ever before. Right. So that's exciting. I realize that the spiritual lineage is different, but I was wondering if we were also affecting those lifetimes by this work.
I think that's a total choice of the spirit that uses a soul to incarnate. I don't think it's not that we don't have an effect on that, because by affecting the different physical lineages, that does affect the purpose of an incarnation, the purpose of using a specific soul. So that's how that we do affect it in some way, because we're affecting all the genetics of the human, of humans, that, and there are so many different genetic lineages.
Very cool. Thank you.
Very cool. It is very cool.
Hi, Joan. This is Randy.
Hi, Randy.
Hi. So I just got a kind of an observation, and maybe there's a question there. When back a session or two ago, when we were revisiting creating the golden liquid light and the nectar, I noticed that it was, the process was different than what we when we originally visited that years ago, and we're taught that, where you kind of brought the light in, and then it, you sent it from your pineal back to your medulla, and it kind of bounced back and forth, and there was this compression. Mm-hmm. And there was, I don't think there was any talk of that anymore. And I feel like, you know, with bringing the white star tetrahedron in, and the light, and then the blue star, that it was just either an upgraded or a different process, it felt like. So I noticed it. I didn't really question it. I just went with it. But I don't know if you had any comment on that.
Well, I mean, a lot has happened since Mastering Alchemy days.
Yeah.
I don't know how many years ago that was. And so our state of consciousness is totally different. And our capabilities of using certain energetic processes is much upgraded. And every time we get an upgrade, it applies to these triads in some way. That second triad really has more of an autonomic function. You use all those three chakras, and the minute you have an intention to create something, they automatically start spinning. And then you have this magnificent light now that isn't outside of your body in the creative realms, but it's in the 11th chakra of your system.
Mm-hmm.
So much different energetic field that you're operating in.
Right. And yeah, and that's kind of this, like I said, I didn't question it too much. It felt more autonomic, like, you know, you didn't have to go through that process. It's just like, you know, bring it down, have the intention, and it's happening.
Right. And you don't even have to bring it out down. It's in your field. That undifferentiated light is in your 11th chakra. So in the next few sessions, we're going to merge all of that triad system into one unified field so that it functions, and you don't have to go anywhere. You just have the intention to use that second triad for whatever the creation is.
Amazing. Works for me. Less to remember.
Exactly. Exactly. You don't have to look it up.
That's right. It's working. Just put it. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. And my cognitive function is noticeably declined. And for me to just even comprehend or understand something or grab something, I have to release it three times. is it normal or not? And is there any suggestions for me how I could improve it? I'm taking this brain boost, but it doesn't think working like how, or maybe material is too complex for my body to comprehend. I'm really having kind of difficulties to accommodate and take whatever the teachings are in the last two sessions.
Yes, and they realize that. We're all struggling with it, to remember it. So to listen again and again, but to practice is really important. And all of these things are geared to upgrade our brain so the brain can accommodate it. The body's having a hard time. The brain's having a hard time, the physical brain. So it's common, and everybody struggles in different ways with this material now. But the only way to get past that is to be very tenacious about it and practice. And it's going to take a lot of your physical time. I can tell you that because I spend, you have no idea, just to prepare for a class. And so it requires a lot of each one of us.
This is Charlotte. I have a comment on that.
Sure.
Add more water. Your brain runs on electricity of water. Most people are dehydrated. And we're having, because we're using so much, many times people aren't breathing.
Mm.
And so when you're trying to do something and you're not breathing, then your body takes the oxygen out of the water and then you become further dehydrated. And the brain is like the old fashioned battery. If it doesn't have the water, it doesn't make the connections. And so,
and I would add to that, Charlotte, maybe also the electrolytes.
That, and then because we are basically shifting from a carbon base to a silicon base, basically from metal wiring to fiber optics, you have to put in more silica. And so you have to get those vegetables in there, the foods that have the silica.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah. But and you'll notice it. Because your brain is 90% water. You can't be making brain cells that look like raisins and think they're going to be functioning very well.
So. Well, your whole body.
Well, yeah.
It is.
But your body, with what we're all trying to do, your body's going to decide where it needs it. So you may say, oh, I want to send all this for my brain. And you gave it 10 things and it got two. The body has to make sure the rest of it has it in that ratioing of balance.
Right.
And that's why you're going to try to upgrade a certain part, but some of the other pieces have to be upgraded first. And that's exactly what we're doing with our triads, so that we can go to the fifth one. We have to have all the rest of them all balanced and in sync at the same level.
Yeah. So.
And that's why some days you go, no, this is not functioning well.
Well, some days you have to take the day off.
Well, and I tell people, log your food. Log your water. I know just basics. You take your weight and you divide it in half, and that's how many minimal ounces you need. Now, if you've been out, you know, and it's hot, and it has been up here by us, all of a sudden you're dehydrated because you were in the water. You were in the pool. You were out, you know, sweating. It's hot. You need more than the minimal if you're going to upgrade. And so water's, you know, key. I measure mine out in water bottles in the morning, and then that's got to be gone by night because my brain's not going to track it.
Yeah.
We've got too many things.
I got mine too.
So I have to do some of these things to make me track it. So
thank you. Yeah. And I think the breath is very also important. Thank you for mentioning that.
So we whenever things get intense, we hold our breath.
Yes. Absolutely.
I don't know. Some people pause on an inhale. Some people pause on an exhale, but you'll catch yourself and pause. And then that, it doesn't work from there.
No.
Yes. And electrolyte, Kelly talked about, I think
Himalayan crystal salt I use, it's very good because that gives me electrolyte. And so I take that, I create a solate, like a saturated Himalayan salt crystal water, and put it in water, clean water, and I drink like a glass of water with the salty water, but it's, you know, not the regular salt. So this really works for me. It just gives me energy right away. And brain.
Good.
Great.
We're creating completely new relationships with our bodies. Like, and everything that's old has got to go. Like, we can't process through our logical, rational mind, like, anymore. But there needs to be a way to just sort of let that go, you know, and allow the new way of being, you know, to kind of settle in and find its harmony and balance. And for me, that comes through the feeling state. I can, it's kind of hard to put, you know, language to it, but I can feel my soul spirit in my body now. Like, in a so much more just simplicity and clarity. You know, and I know that my dream state now, it's very sweet. Like, I don't know exactly everything that's going on from when I close my eyes till I wake up, but the feeling state is just sublime, you know, and it connects me with that vaster part of me, you know, which is just it's sort of a quiet joy. You know, it just feels like home, you know, and I think offering that in each moment that we're alive and breathing now is doing a lot for humanity and the earth, even if, you know, even our sense of tracking, some of us may be very good at tracking energy, but that has to shift also. You know, like, everything's in a state of flux right now, and it's just, I think about enjoying it, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it really, really is.
Wow. Thank you. Uh-huh. Sure. Anybody else on that subject?
No.
We need to go on.
I wanted to add something about the brain. If do we have time?
Yes, I was going to call on you, Kathleen. I saw your hand. Oh. talk about
that. I was going to talk about the brain and the second triad anyway, so it all came full circle. Yeah, I think brain food is really, really important. I agree with what everyone else has said about that. What I discovered this morning, I was having a lot of trouble kind of sustaining the liquid light, the different forms of liquid light. And this morning I just was also in a lot of physical pain, which gets my attention. So then it gets me to sit on my cushion and do it, right? Do the work. And what I found were anomalies in the second triad preventing me from getting it up to 100%. So I almost had to go back to the anomaly class. And I took those crystal bars from my future self and she cleared them all out, especially in the medulla oblongata. And that was where there was pain. And then there was pain in my root chakra. And so both of those spots, as soon as I could get it up to 100%, I could clear it out my lower chakras. But it was like there was a program in my brain saying, oh, no, you're not going to get any higher than whatever, 40%. It was really interesting to see what was there to keep me from that, you know. So now I know how the anomalies work. And Vera, I really encourage you, don't feel like it has to be linear. You know, I jump around. I find that I need to do some classes and then go back to what we just did. And that I, too, feel like I forget where I leave my phone or why I walked into the kitchen. You know, it's like we're doing such big work. It's hard to hold on to the cognitive function for the details. But I had like this big aha this morning about clearing the potential to make the light, clearing the what was blocking me from that. And then I could download it. It was really huge. It was a huge shift.
Wow.
Yeah, in our ascension process, I think in theosophy it is that they call those ring pass knots, what you've just described.
They call them what?
Ring pass knots. N-O-T-S. Yeah, and they're sort of, it's like our ascension is becoming more vast and coherent, and then we kind of bump our heads on this, you know, what's kind of in the way of that. And I think that's an ongoing process, as I understand, is that we do, and it's all energetic, so we have to kind of just discern and it's very organic, right? The process of navigating with our cognition and our feeling states and our physicals right now.
Yeah.
I had a healer one time say, when you're clearing anything, to also say, she used to be a computer programmer and then she became an energy healer. And so she talks about healing like a computer. And she said, when you clear something, whether you're working on a person or you're working on yourself, that you also clear the auto reinstall program. So that, you know, because the anomalies are that tricky. That it's like you pull it out. Kelly was talking a little bit about this a while ago. You go pull it out and there's another program that comes right in if we don't fill it with light right away, that reinstall, you know, like we have to just be, you know, really mindful of our creative power to say absolutely no, even to something that's going to reinstall and block, right? So is that kind of what you're saying, Jana?
It's that intention that we have. We always have to have ourselves, not let ourselves off the hook, so to speak. You know, we have to be vigilant and discerning about what's going on, you know, because, and in yoga tradition, they call those samskaras. They're those energetic bits and pieces like the ring pass knots that kind of fall under your radar of your default way of living. And so that needs to be just like, I like the bowling alley one, you know, where I know it sounds silly, but, you know, you throw the ball and the pins are there and some of them fall down and then you've got this sweeper come down and pick up what you need and clear out, you know, give yourself a clean slate all the time. It's like a perpetual experience, I think. Yeah.
Right. Another thing about that is to also, when you remove something, fill the void with light. The liquid light or the nectar, wherever it is appropriate to fill that void so that it doesn't automatically reinstall.
Yeah, I can't count the number of times a day that I say Katumi's prayer. Mm-hmm. It's like, but a vast number of times a day. I'm in the energetics of Katumi's prayer. I find that very, very effective. Yeah.
It's an awesome prayer, and it's a great reminder of who you are.
Yeah.
So I hate to stop this conversation, but we do have several things we have to cover today.
So
with that, we will close this portion and we will start the next portion of our class today.